no mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. All right, Tua Tagovailoa has been trying to prove to NFL teams that his hip has fully recovered heading into the NFL draft on Thursday. Tua has posted videos from private workouts and has appeared to be fine, but former NFL head doctor David Chow said that he would give Tua less than a 10% chance to play a full season in 2020. Shannon, Tua, Tua's your guy. How much does this information scare you?
Not at all. Because of the 32 starting quarterbacks that opened the season last year, only 13 started every single game, Skip, and another three sought out for rest in week 17. So only half made it through. Only one rookie quarterback has started all 16 games over the last 3 years, and that was last year. That was Kyler Murray. So the likelihood of that Joe Burrow or Herbert or Jordan Love of any of them starting all 16 games. But he also said a lot of this has to do with his playing style, trying to extend plays. Skip, you know, the more you try to extend the play, the better, the greater your chances are getting injured. He's going to have to learn to get rid of the football. That's why they're trying to teach Lamar Jackson. Lamar, sometimes you got to know when the journey's over. Don't worry about that extra 2 yards. Get out of bounds. Get down. Don't take that shot. And so I think he's going to probably have to change some of his playing style, get rid of the ball, live to see another day. Skip, every play can't be extended, and you make something positive out of it. Sometimes you just throw the ball away or you check it down. But, Skip, I believe he has the most impressive tape over the totality of his college career of any player, of any quarterback in this draft. I'm not worried about that because there's a chance, even if he didn't have injury. Skip, you remember Deshaun Watson tore his knee. Deshaun Watson has an injury history coming out. How's he been? You don't pass that talent up, Skip. It's too good of a talent to pass up. Now, Miami, you made that mistake one time before with Drew Brees. Hopefully you've learned your lesson, but it doesn't look like you have. Maybe it's all a smoke screen, Skip, to keep people from moving up. But I believe if Tua's there at 5, I believe the Dolphins are going to take him. And I would take him, and I wouldn't think twice about taking him.
Okay, quick point of order. Drew Brees had a shoulder injury, and that was all that was wrong with him, just one injury. And he's been mostly injury-free. I know he hurt his thumb that he hit on the helmet at LA 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, but in general, Drew Brees has been very healthy in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me get this straight once and for all. You're saying if you had, hypothetically, the number one overall pick, if Shannon Sharp had that pick, Shannon Sharp would still take Tua, number one overall in this draft?
I would. Yes, especially if I needed a quarterback. Yes, I'm taking him because I believe he's the best. I believe he's the best quarterback in this draft. Absolutely, Skip.
Okay, after all you've seen and all you've heard about Tua's injury history, to me, this smacks of stubborn pride or maybe even foolish pride on your part. I know you're a fan of this kid, and he's a good kid, and he's got a terrific release, and he has a flair for pulling off, to me, tight window throws that are sort of Aaron Rodgers-esque, where you say, wow, that was some arm talent throw where he pulled that. It takes a little swagger, a little bit of chutzpah. It takes a little bit of savvy and feel and supreme self-confidence to pull off some of the throws this young man has pulled off at Alabama. But when you think about the injury history, I keep thinking what you've always told me, hurt in college, hurt in the pros. And it's just such a litany. It's such a long list. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it one more time because I respect his knowledge. Rex Ryan said on ESPN that he was told, I assume by another coach or GM in the league that he knows very well, that the intel is that Tua had 5 surgeries while he was in college. And we've talked about this litany before, but he did have a broken nose, which was also a concussion. And then he broke the index finger on his throwing hand, which required a surgery. And then here he had a sprained knee, and I'm going to assume that it required a scope, maybe to clean out some torn cartilage. Then he pulled his quad badly and missed games with that. And then he had both ankles tightrope surgery, which can be dicey on both, not just one, but both sides. And then he capped it off with a hip surgery on a fractured hip that it's really dangerous and career threatening. He looks fine now in the video. The problem now, he's become the biggest X factor maybe in draft history because as part of the quarantine we're in, each team doctor can't have a hands-on examination of Tua. They have the information from one general doctor, but now we have a former head doctor in the NFL saying, gee, to me, his odds of making it through his rookie year, if he was a starting quarterback, would be between 1% and 9% that he would make it through unscathed. Well, it's just, it's so many injuries that you at some point have to term a player, as you know, you played with a lot of them, I've covered a lot of them, they're brittle, they're fragile, they're eggshells, they're paper mache. They just somehow have a knack for completing passes and getting hurt. And I saw a lot of tape of him. I watched a lot of games on TV of Tua where after so many injuries, I saw him get a little flinchy, a little antsy, a little jittery, predictably, because, man, you get beat up so much, you know, you get hit one time and here this goes and here that goes and another surgery that you lose some of your courage, you know, because you're just human. So, Shannon, there are just too many big games. There were three big games in which he didn't play great. I'll just leave it at that. And he was throwing to four receivers who could be first-round picks. It's like a track team of route-running speedsters. And he was playing behind, I believe, the best offensive line over the last 3 years in college football. It's loaded with high picks, and some will be in this draft.
No. See, there you go doing that again, Skip. You didn't have a problem with Baker Mayfield when he was throwing to Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb, and he had the number one offensive line in football. You didn't have a problem when Kyler Murray was throwing to CeeDee Lamb and had the number one and Joe Burrow with all those receivers and had the number one offensive line. It's only Tua. Skip,
no.
I believe the ankle surgeries were elective because he had those surgeries not to speed up the process of healing. And so, Skip, it's kind of like me in 96. I had the nerve in my left ankle. I had it dead because I wanted to speed up the process of it healing. Skip, I didn't have to have it. I could have just waited, gutted it out. But this sped up the process. I mean, let me tell you what happened, Skip, and you know this. If you hurt something on your lower leg, what you start to do is compensate. You start to walk funny. It's kind of like having a flat tire. Well, if you drive around on a flat tire for an extended period of time, you're going to mess up something other than the rim on that car. You're going to mess up the lining, be it the front or the rear. And that's what happens, Skip. If you have ankle injuries, that everything. So now you start walking funny, you mess up your knee, and you mess up your hips. Now, your quads, trust me, I know. I've had dealt with ankle injuries a large part of my career when I played, Skip, and my hips and my knees. That's probably why my knees and my hips bother me now. Going to have a hip replacement at some point in time in the not-too-distant future. But I do not believe, I believe his playing style has lent itself to him getting more injured than he probably should have. He's going to have to learn, like Tom Brady, like these other quarterbacks, it's okay to throw the ball away. You don't necessarily have to make every single play. Now, obviously, Skip, there are going to be times you have to stand in the pocket, look down the barrel, and throw the ball, take one right to the chops. But you don't need to do that on a consistent basis because you set yourself up to being injured. I have no concerns. Just like most quarterbacks, Skip, at some point in time will get injured in their career. Rookie quarterbacks normally do not play all 16 games in their rookie season. So if he doesn't, he would not be unique in that manner. But his talent, him and the kid from Oregon, Skip, is not close. It is not close.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't even know what people are talking
about. I got it. I agree.
The only reason, and if you want to say, Skip, well, he's injury prone, but Skip, here's the thing. They failed Drew Brees because you said it was his shoulder. That was the only time he had been injured. But they said there was a 10% chance that he would be back. Peyton Manning, everybody said there's only a 10% chance. The Broncos said, we're taking that 10% chance. That's good enough for us. Skip, you don't pass. Skip, this talent is just too good.
Injury.
But look at the injury.
I got it.
The injury was to the shoulder.
I got to jump back on the offensive lines. I'll bet you 100 cases of Diet Dew that the Alabama offensive line will have more high picks than the LSU offensive line, and that they'll have way more high picks than the Oklahoma lines have had of the last 3 or 4 years. There weren't that many high picks. They were a good unit, and they did a good job of protecting Baker and Kyler. I give you that. They did a nice job, and they were rated very high. But they weren't stopped from side to side with with first-round picks. It wasn't like that. This Alabama line is loaded with high picks, as you're about to see.
Well, I think the thing is, Skip, they might have more high picks, but I think when you evaluate an offensive line, you must evaluate it in its totality. You just can't say, well, they have the best left tackle in the country, therefore they have the best offensive line in football. You have to look at it in its totality and look at it from left to right, from left tackle to right tackle. And that's why LSU rated so high. That's why Oklahoma over the last couple of years had the top offensive line in football. I'm not saying that the Alabama offensive line isn't talented, because I believe Jerick Willis is going to be a top 10 pick probably. Leatherwood would probably be another top 10, top 15 pick coming out in the left tackle next year. So, Skip, yes, they're talented. But the media and coaches voted that offensive line, LSU, the best in football last year in college football. So that's to be said. But Tua talent is too good to pass up, Skip.
Okay, I got you. But if he can't play, if he's not available to play, it just won't matter. And I'm going to remind you one more time, he's only 6 feet tall. He's built tough. He's built stocky tough because he carries some weight. Was he 215-ish? So he has some stature to him. And yet, I told you when Kyler came out, he's durable. I've never seen him even flinch after getting knocked down. He tends to avoid high contact. Tua has a knack for getting hit and getting hurt. And see it in college, see it on tape, see it in pro football. It just would scare me to death to use a high pick on him. And yet somebody, because he's such an X factor and he is so talented, somebody's going to take the plunge on him, and I say they'll pay the price because ultimately it'll be a wasted pick. And again, Joe Burrow, I'll say it one last time to you, Shannon Sharp. He did not miss a throw last year, and I agree he had talent around him and he had protection and he had Joe Brady and a whole new system. He just didn't miss a throw.
Yeah, I remember another guy that didn't miss a throw 1 year. His name was Sam Bradford. He had Adrian Peterson in the backfield. He had Lane Johnson at a right tackle. He had Gerald McCoy. And how did that work out for him, Skip? So you said if he is injured and can't play, if he's injured and can't play, what if the guy gets selected ahead of him and just can't play? Guess what? No injuries, just can't play.
Go look it up. I said before Sam Bradford's draft, and I'm a University of Oklahoma fanatic, I said he will not be able to stay healthy in pro football, and I would not draft him high. Go look it up.
Check the tape, Shannon.
Say no mercy.
The latest NFL draft rumors are saying that the Chiefs could trade up to take wide receiver Henry Ruggs. Ruggs would add even more speed to arguably the fastest receiving group in the league. The Alabama star wideout ran a 4.27 40-yard dash at the combine. So, Shannon, would this be a good idea or bad idea for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Skip, I believe this would be a great luxury, but not a necessity. Okay, you'd have 4.27 in Henry Ruggs, 4.28 in Tyreek Hill, 4.33 in Mecole Hardman, 4.45 in Sammy Watkins. I believe that pick would be better served going on the defensive side of the football. Maybe you get a more sudden middle linebacker, maybe a safety, I don't think a safety is rated. Well, probably when they pick, they're picking 32nd. So, Skip, for me, I wouldn't move up to take Henry Ruggs. Now, if he fell to you, okay, I get it. But I don't think he's going to drop that far in the draft, not with that kind of speed, with the pedigree and the program in which he played in. Skip, but how many go routes are you going to run? I get it. I mean, you have enough. Skip, I think they would be better served. I don't think offense is going to be their problem this year. I think they would be better served to spend that pick on the defensive side of the football. I think it would be better served if they went that direction.
I agree with you, but when Peter King speaks, I listen. And this report came from Peter King, so I'm assuming there's some validity to the fact that Andy Reid is intrigued with moving up from 32 to wherever it would take to snatch Henry Ruggs. Mel Kiper has Ruggs going 21 to the Eagles, who badly need a receiver, as we know. It's probably the deepest receiver draft maybe ever, so you could probably get another one after that if the Eagles wanted to give up Ruggs in that spot there. But the point is, this is so typical Andy Reid. He's a great guy, but he has a huge ego, and that ego, unfortunately to me, got validated by him winning this Super Bowl with his toys. And again, credit all to Andy Reid. He's the one who moved up in the draft to take the all-time toy, Patrick Mahomes, your homeboy. And Andy Reid obviously is obsessed to a fault with throwing the football, so he wants another toy at receiver where he's got all those incredibly speedy toys to start with. Again, Andy Reid was very lucky he got away with getting through the playoffs and validating his philosophy, which is he doesn't really care about his defense. He doesn't really care about his running game. Pro Football Focus last year ranked his defense 25th during the regular season, and they finished the regular season 23rd in yards rushing the football. So in the end, they were so lucky to me, Shannon, that they got to play against Bill O'Brien, and they got to play against Jimmy G. Because remember, in that first home playoff game, Houston's up 21 to nothing, and it's 4th and 1 at their 13, at Kansas City's 13, and Bill O'Brien takes the field goal instead of going for the throat. And so now it's 24 to nothing, and they got outscored from that point on, as you know, 51 to 7. And then in the Super Bowl, they're down 20 to 10 going into the fourth quarter, and Jimmy G reverted to being Jimmy G through an interception. He was only 3 for 8. He missed the deep throw to Emmanuel Sanders that could have won the game late and came apart, as did Kyle Shanahan's offense. And here came back roaring Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I think they were lucky it was Bill O'Brien and Jimmy G, or maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yet now he thinks he can get away with it because he's a made man now. He got crowned. He got christened. He is a Super Bowl champion. And now I won't be surprised at all if he neglects the defense in favor of getting one more toy. And he would be some kind of toy. And to your point, Shannon, he's the ultimate luxury because he's the fastest man in the draft. And he can catch it. He's pretty good. He was, again, he had the third most receiving yards on this last year's Alabama team and the third most catches. You know, he's pretty good, but he's more luxury than necessity, to your point, where he's not a number one receiver. He's a cherry on top. He would just give you a track team that would be virtually uncoverable. And Andy's going to say, we're just going to come in and outscore you doing what I'm obsessed with doing, throwing the football.
Well, Skip, they're picking 32nd, so if, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to them taking a running back. If a running back that they see they like there, and you're sitting in the 32nd spot, but to move up and take a necessity play, a luxury player, Skip, it really doesn't make sense to me because you really need some defensive, you know, it doesn't make sense to me from a standpoint, Skip. You got the franchise tag on Chris Jones. He's gonna want a long-term deal. Now, the higher you move up in the draft, the more you're going to have to pay that guy. And so that goes, and I get it, you know, you win, and so, hey, everybody thinks the money's going to just go on forever. But eventually, you know, Skip, those payments are going to, my homeboy's coming. 200, 250, that's coming, Skip, and it's coming sooner than later. Guess what? Travis Kelce going to be knocking on your door again real soon, too, now. So I get it. I get all that, Skip, but for me, I would take a defensive player or a running back at the 32nd pick. But like I said, Henry Ruggs is a great luxury to have, not a necessity. But for me, I wouldn't move up to take him.
Hey, Steve Spagnuolo did a really nice job last year. But if you don't restock his cupboard, you can't ask him to do that again. So, again, because I'm going to root against your homeboy, I hope they take Ruggs in the first round. And I hope they have to spend draft capital to go up to get him, because it's not going to get them anywhere.
Yeah, Skip. I mean, I hadn't seen speed like this since the old Raiders They had Sam Grady, they had Willie Gault, they had Swervin' Mervin Fernandez, and then a couple years later, they drafted James Jett. Well, both of those guys were on the gold medal. James Jett in 92 was on the relay, gold medal winning relay team, and Sam Grady got the silver medal in the 84 Olympics to Carl Lewis. So speed in the West is nothing new, but how much speed do you need, Skip? I mean, Tyreek, I mean, imagine
just a couple
Tyreek
days away from the
second
draft,
fastest
guys.
Player on your team.
We need the draft. We're anxious for it, and we've got so much to talk about before them. No mercy.